ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fresh Frozen Southerner podcast. My name is Jay. I hope all is well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as the title of the episode suggests, today is a little mini holiday episode. And the reason I'm calling it that is because we are almost to Valentine's Day. And last week was Groundhog's Day. Now, I need to talk real quick about Groundhog's Day. I have said in the past that that groundhog is a liar because the sun does not come out in Pennsylvania during the winter. Something kind of odd happened last February the 2nd. Number one, Punxsutawney Phil claimed to have seen his shadow. And at least here in Mountaintop, I don't know what the weather was like in Punxsutawney. That is about 3 hours west of us. But here in Mountaintop, it was sunny on February the 2nd. It's such a rare occurrence that it's not overcast here. For once, that groundhog might have been telling the truth. Don't quote me on that, but it is at least a possibility this one time. All right, guys, moving on to Valentine's Day. Now, we are 5 days away, and I have got a little bit of relationship advice. Now, I am not an expert in anything. I have said that many times, but I have been with my wife almost 30 years. We started dating in 1992. We were high school sweethearts. I was 17, and she was 15 when we first started dating. And that shocks a lot of people when they hear that. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, we went to the company picnic of the company that my wife works for. Now, my wife is part of the executive team at her company. She's one of the senior managers. She's actually the vice president of marketing. And as a team building exercise, the company had went to the leadership team and asked them to give a quote, something odd about their life. And the point was, it was sort of a scavenger hunt. It was a way for employees that don't interact with certain managers during the day-to-day course of their jobs to have to go around and have a conversation with some of the managers that they may not speak to very often. The quote that my wife gave is that her first car, she was not able to drive it at the time. Now, the reason she wasn't able to drive it is she purchased a manual shift car. And she did not know how to drive a manual shift vehicle. And I asked her, you know, why are you buying? Well, a lot of people asked her, actually. But I asked her, you know, why are you buying a manual if you don't know how to drive it? And I love her answer. It's the most pragmatic thing I've ever heard. She said, if I don't have to learn how to drive a manual, I never will. And I love that. I love that, you know, I'm forcing myself to do this thing so that I will do it. And that's a life skill that a lot of people don't have. Again, I've worked in the automotive industry. You will be shocked at how many young mechanics today, a mechanic that can't drive a manual shift. It's not something that you see every once in a blue moon. You get these 23-year-old guys, 25-year-olds. I mean, they've never been in a manual shift car. It's kind of hard to blame them. But at the same time, you know, you're working as an automotive mechanic. You need to be able to drive the vehicles in and out. It's probably something you need to learn. But again, it's not a huge deal because you very rarely see manual shift drives now. Although I was talking to my son about it a couple days ago, as a matter of fact, and I told him, you know, if you bought a manual shift car, the chances of that car getting stolen probably drops by about 95% because most people can't drive it to steal it. But all right, I'm getting off topic. But anyway, my wife was talking to people at this company picnic, and you know, they were asking, you know, which one of these quotes is you? And she was telling the story about purchasing this vehicle. It was a 1992 Honda CRX, if you remember those, a little two-seater hatchback. And she was describing, you know, buying this car and why she bought it. And she would tell everybody, you know, Jay went with me to the dealership and drove it home. And they were, and she said a lot of them would stop her and say, wait, Jay, your husband, Jay? And she said, yeah, we were dating in high school. And they were all like, that's the story you need to be telling. That's incredible. In fact, one of her coworkers one time told her, you guys have been together longer than I've been alive. And my wife said her reaction was, thank you, I guess. Seems like sort of a backhanded compliment. But of course, the person meant well. It just come across wrong. But like I say, I've been with my wife for about 30 years now. I'm not an expert in anything, but I feel like I've done pretty good at this whole marriage and family thing. So I've got a little bit of advice for Valentine's Day. It's actually just two pieces of advice, but they're very important. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, pay attention. The first piece of advice is your girlfriend or your wife, they don't care how much money you spend on Valentine's Day. And a lot of women will tell you, no, you don't have to do anything. Don't buy that. That's a trap. But they don't care how much money you spend. They want you to burn calories. Spend a little time planning something. It doesn't have to be anything amazing. Put a little bit of effort into doing something. They will love it. Even if it only costs you $5, the fact that you spent time making that happen is what's going to impress them. One of the best Valentines me and my wife have had in recent years was just simply, I arranged a babysitter for the evening. I made reservations at her favorite restaurant, and I did all this without telling her. And that evening, I told her that, you know, you need to get dressed. We're going to the Cork Bar. Now, my wife knows that I love that restaurant just as much as she does, and I'm getting a fantastic meal out of that deal. But the fact that I went to the effort to make all the arrangements, make the reservations, I don't want to use the term behind her back because you're doing it for her, but you know, I didn't let her know ahead of time. It was kind of a surprise. That made all the difference in the world. And again, I was getting to go eat at my favorite restaurant too. So it was almost as much for me as it was for her, but it was the effort that was involved that made it so special for her. So take a little time. Like I say, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It just, you have to put a little bit of sweat equity into it. That's what they want to see. Now, piece of advice number two will seem to contradict number one, but trust me, this is important. If your woman is employed, you need to send flowers to her job. Now, this one can get a little muddy if your wife or girlfriend works in retail or particularly in the restaurant industry, because that makes it a little tougher to have the flowers delivered. A lot of times they don't have a good place to keep the stuff while they're at work. But believe me, if she has a job and is she going to be at work on the 14th, you need to have flowers sent to her job. And it's not about her getting the flowers at her work. It's about the women that she works with seeing her get those flowers. I know that sounds crazy. Just trust me on this one. If you have flowers waiting for her when she gets home, she's going to love them. It's going to make her happy, but that's a 7. If she can make the women that she works with a little bit jealous about her relationship, that jumps up to a 10. It makes all the difference in the world. Most women won't admit that that's a big part of it. My wife has come clean and said that that makes a huge difference in getting the flowers, because all the women in her office will come by and, oh God, you got those, are so beautiful. Oh, you must be so happy. Again, it sounds cynical. Just again, trust me, that is going to go a long way into you having a good Valentine's Day, because she will be over the moon that those flowers showed up at her office. And that sounds like such a simple thing. You know, one phone call, order the flowers, give them the address of where she works, bing, bang, boom, you're done. Well, I've got a little story I would like to relate to you about how that's not always as easily said and done. And this story, it's going to sound like I'm making things up. It's going to sound like I'm embellishing things at points of this story. I assure you, every pathetic word of this story is absolutely true. Many years ago, I don't remember when it was, I'm going to say I was about 23, 24. My wife and I, again, we were already together. We weren't married at this time. We were dating. But we were just getting to where we were sort of established in, you know, decent paying 9-to-5 jobs. You know, I wasn't bartending anymore. My wife wasn't working as a waitress. You know, we were sort of getting into a, you know, like an adult type career environment. And so as Valentine's Day started to come closer, I decided, you know, I need to have flowers sent to her office. So a few days before Valentine's Day, I called up the florist that I had used on several occasions, getting flowers for some other occasions. And I ordered flowers to be delivered to her office on Valentine's Day. Once I'd done that, I kind of kicked back and said, my work is done here. And I just waited for the day to arrive. Now, Valentine's Day shows up and I'm at work. And of course, I wasn't expecting to hear anything before noon. But from 12 o'clock until, I got off from work that day, which I worked until 6. I was just waiting for a phone call. I was thinking, oh, any second now, I'm going to get an ecstatic phone call, and she's just going to be gushing about how much she loves those flowers. And I waited. And I waited. Quitting time rolled around, and we closed at 6, so I would get home about 6:30. And my wife got off at 5, so she always was at the house when I got home. And I walked through the door, and I didn't say anything right away because I was still foolishly thinking that, you know, maybe she was busy and she couldn't call, and I'm going to walk in and that bouquet of flowers will be on the kitchen table and she's going to tell me how much she loves them. But there's just nothing. And I waited about 5 minutes to see if she'd say anything. And finally I said, did you like your flowers? And she looked at me, so what flowers? I thought, God. And of course it's 7 o'clock by this time, the floral shop's closed. So I have to wait till the next day and I call them up and I say, hey, I ordered flowers to be delivered to my wife, and they never showed up. And, oh, well, we had a couple of deliveries we didn't get to. We're going to deliver them today. And I'm thinking, today's not Valentine's Day. But they did deliver the flowers the day after. So next Valentine's Day rolls around, and I go to order flowers. And I think, I'm not ordering from the same place. I'm going to do a different floral shop. So 3 or 4 days before Valentine's Day, I call and I order flowers to be delivered to her office on Valentine's Day. And again, Valentine's Day rolls around and I'm sitting at work and I'm waiting on the phone call. And I keep waiting for the phone call. And it is an exact repeat of the year before. I get home, there's no flowers. They didn't show up. So again, I call the next day and I'm like, what the hell? I ordered flowers, they didn't show up. Exact same story. You know, we had a couple deliveries we didn't get to. And I'm thinking, again, the same thing happens again. So year three rolls around. Once again, I call up a couple days before and order flowers from a different floral shop. Now, keep in mind, I'm living in a very small town. There are only like 4 florists in this entire town. Now, there may be a couple of little tucked away somewhere that nobody ever heard of, but it's a small town. Most of the time, if there was a floral shop, I would have seen it driving around. So I'm not only am I getting really frustrated at this point, I'm running out of florists that I can give my money to. The exact same thing happens the third year in a row. I ordered flowers a couple days in advance. I'm not waiting until the day of when they're already swamped. And I understand that Valentine's Day and Mother's Day are probably the only big money-making days in the floral industry, and you want to get all of the orders you can. And most florists I've ever been in, they've got like 3 employees. There's 2 women there that are doing the bouquets, and they've got 1 delivery driver. I understand that you're trying to make money while you got to make hay while the sun shines, and it's easy to get overextended. But how could I have been on the list 3 years in a row? I was honestly, at this point, I was starting to think, did I brutally murder a florist in a former life and this is cosmic justice? How does this keep happening? So we go into the 4th year and I'm on my 4th florist, and somehow or another, this year, the bouquet is actually delivered to her office on Valentine's Day. And I finally get that damn phone call I've been waiting 4 years to get. So when year 5 rolls around, I'm thinking, all right, this florist is dependable. They actually do what they say they're supposed to do. I'm sticking with them and all will be right with the world. Except it wasn't right with the world, because this year, again, no phone call. I get home from work, no flowers. I'm going out of my mind at this point. How the hell does this keep happening? So we get to year 6 and I go to the last florist that's in my town. And this time I didn't make a phone call. I went to the florist and I ordered. Now, this particular Valentine's Day, my wife was going to leave the office at noon. I forget why she was taking a half day. She may have just had some PTO time she was trying to burn through. But for whatever reason, she was getting off at lunchtime. And I was very specific with this florist. I said, these have to be delivered before 11 p.m. She's only working half a day. These need to be delivered in the morning. And I was assured several times that, yes, we'll make sure this is one of the first ones that go out. We'll get it there before she leaves. Well, no flowers when she gets home. I was off that day. It may have just fallen at the time I was working at the Harley shop, and I was off on Tuesdays. This may have just fallen on that day. But for whatever reason, I was off and I had the time to go to the floral shop. And I said, what the hell? You were supposed to deliver those flowers before noon. She's home. No flowers. What happened? They never gave me an explanation of why it didn't get delivered. They did tell me, oh, well, we're going to refund you the delivery fee. And I'm thinking, well, don't act like you're doing me a favor. You didn't deliver them. Why would I be charged a delivery fee? But anyway, I walked out of the floral shop with her bouquet and took her her flowers that were supposed to be delivered. So now we enter year 7. Again, I've been through all the florists in the town I live in. So about 2 weeks before, I called a couple of florist shops in the town a couple miles away. And I found one that said, yes, we deliver to your town all the time. It's not a problem. You know, we usually have several bouquets on Valentine's Day going that way. It's not an issue. We'll be happy to deliver them for you. So again, I sit at work and I wait for a phone call that never comes. And I call this place the next day and I am just in a rage. Now, I'm not yelling at the lady, but I'm just seething on the phone. And of course, she's very apologetic. You know, I'm sure it's not intentional. I understand it's not a malicious attack. But I really feel like it's just futile for me to order flowers at this point. I mean, how can it happen just over and over and over that I am the one that does not get his flowers delivered on Valentine's Day? And the lady is assuring me, you know, we're going to make her something special. You know, we're not going to charge you anymore. We're going to make this up to you. And I'm like, you can't make it up to me. You don't worry about replacing the flowers because you can't replace them at this point. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Flowers on Valentine's Day say, I love and appreciate you. Flowers on the 15th say, look at what a great big jackass your husband is. You can't replace it at this point. You know, it's the definition of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, the damage is done. It doesn't matter what you do at this point. The boat's going down. And she kept saying, no, well, you know, we're going to do something really nice. And I said, no, just refund the money. And then I've got my wife calling me saying, no, I want the flowers. Tell them to pick. And I'm just driving me crazy. After 7 years of that garbage, and I do not, to this day, I will never understand how that could happen to me. For all intents and purposes, 6 years in a row. Now, I did have one little hiccup in there somehow that the flowers actually got delivered. But after 7 years of just stupidly believing that it's not going to happen this year, there's no way. You know, what are the odds? It's just not going to happen. And then having it happen just over and over and over, I finally gave up. I explained to my wife that you are going to get flowers at your office. They will be for Valentine's. I'm having them sent a week early. That way, when they screw up and they get there 2 days later, you still get them before Valentine's Day. And my wife said that that's fine. I think she just felt sorry for me at this point. But ever since, that has been my modus operandi. Now, since we've been up in PA, there is a florist in Wilkes-Barre that most of the time when I order those flowers and I don't really give them a delivery date, I just say, just make sure they're there before Valentine's Day. They're to her within a couple of hours. So I have finally found a florist that is dependable and trustworthy, but I'm still not trusting them. I'm not ordering flowers to be delivered on Valentine's Day ever again. I will go to my grave having her flowers sent a few days before. And like I said at the start of this pathetic tale that sounds made up, it sounds like maybe it happened twice, but I like to say it happened 7 times. No, unfortunately, that is 100% the truth. All right, now that sorry mess is out of the way. I also have got one of my half-assed history lessons for you. Because I'd always heard that, you know, St. Valentine was put to death, and it's odd that that became associated with lovers and romance, but I'd never heard how that came to be. Now, I expected to find out why St. Valentine was martyred in the first place. He was put to death on February 14th in 269 AD in Rome. Now, I did not see why he was put to death. Now, he was a Christian minister. There's some argument as to whether he was a bishop or just a priest, but I really didn't find anything as to why he was put to death. I guess we're just going to chalk that up to At this point in the Roman Empire, murdering Christians was just considered good, clean family fun, and it was his turn. I don't know why he was put to death. But St. Valentine is actually, he's the patron saint of the city of Terni in Italy. He is the patron saint of people suffering from epilepsy, which seems a little oddly specific. I'm not sure how that came about. And even a little more oddly than that, he is the patron saint of beekeepers. Now, St. Valentine's Day was made an official Catholic holiday in 469 AD. Oddly enough, the Eastern Orthodox Church celebrates St. Valentine's Day on July the 6th. And again, I didn't find any reason for that other than I guess they just wanted to be a little different. But St. Valentine's Day has been an official holiday for 1600 years at this point. Now, in all that time, there was never any connection with romance or couples. None of that showed up until the 14th century. So for about 1,000 years, St. Valentine's Day was simply a remembrance of this Catholic priest or bishop that was put to death by the Romans. There was never any romantic connection to St. Valentine's Day until in the 1300s, Geoffrey Chaucer wrote a poem called The Parliament of Fowls. Now, in this poem, he references St. Valentine's Day in connection with a romantic holiday. Now, it was understood that this poem by Geoffrey Chaucer was a work of fiction, but he wrote it, the background elements of the story were sort of set, it was suggested that these were taken from actual history. So it sort of entered our public consciousness that St. Valentine had some connection with marriage and young lovers, but it was just a mistake thinking that Geoffrey Chaucer was writing about real life events in this fictionalized setting. So every time you've heard that Valentine's Day is just a made up holiday, it's actually pretty close to the truth, except it wasn't the greeting card companies or the florist industry. It was Geoffrey Chaucer writing a poem, and he made up the whole holiday, but he wasn't doing it for money. He just thought this was a good story, and people didn't understand that. So that's not exactly how I expected that holiday to shake out, but I thought that was pretty interesting. I hope you did as well. Now, I've got one more little thing I'd like to point out, and that is that I published my first episode of the Fresh Frozen Southerner podcast on February the 7th in 2021. So my show has just celebrated its first anniversary. I would like to thank all of you that's been with me for the whole time. I've got several listeners who have been with me for the entire year. Thank you for listening for this long. I know that I was painfully bad this time last year, and I'm only now approaching fair to Midland, but I appreciate you staying with me. Again, the amount of downloads I've got just organically has blown me away. I know a lot of people were in lockdown and just desperate for anything to break up the tedium. But again, I have no name recognition. I'm not doing any advertising. And the number of downloads that I've gotten has just really surprised me, and it's a little bit humbling. And I want to thank you for listening. You know, my goal for this year is to, number one, make a more interesting podcast, hopefully a little bit better professional quality. I know my audio is sketchy sometimes. My inflection goes in weird directions at odd times. I don't know why am I saying that like that. That's not how I talk. But again, just I appreciate all of you. I thank you for listening. And that is about all I've got for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did enjoy, please leave me a like and a comment. And if you really want to show me some love on this Valentine's Day, send me a subscription. That would be greatly appreciated. As always, you can leave me a comment at freshfrozensoutherner@gmail.com or at the Fresh Frozen Southerner Facebook page. All right, guys. Happy hump day. We'll talk before Valentine's Day, but just in case we don't, I hope everybody has a happy Valentine's Day. Stay safe out there. We're getting a pretty good break in the weather. It's actually surprisingly nice for February, so hope you can get out and enjoy a little bit of sunshine and some fresh air. Have a good rest of the work week, guys. I will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.